Brethren, we're going to have a few thoughts from the book of Daniel. It's from an area in the book of Daniel in chapter 2 that you're very, very familiar with. That's why we can do this quickly. You see that those are the various empires that have ruled the Bible lands. And the last four of them, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, deal with the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had, that Daniel interpreted, that we often refer to as Daniel's image. And the question for us today is, where is Daniel's image? Now, there are two basic opinions on the question about how this fits the prophecies of our day. One opinion is that image has been smitten and it's breaking apart. And the other opinion is that image continues until the kingdom, and then in Armageddon, that image will be smitten and fall apart. What we would like to suggest to you today is first our opinion on that question, and secondly, some evidence for that. Now we have a few pictures here just to show you that image, but you don't see the feet. But you do see that this is the same image that in Daniel the 7th chapter is described as four beasts that rise up, and in Daniel the 8th chapter described, two of those are described as beasts. But the feet were part of iron and part of clay. We show this to show the feet in particular, which is the iron, the political power, mixed with the clay, the imitation of that stone which represents God's kingdom. That is the papacy, down through the dark ages, that is mixed in with the political figures of this earth. And there comes a time at the end of the age when that stone, carved out without hands by the Spirit of God, representing the elect church that's carved out of the kingdoms of this world, smites that stone at its feet, and the image falls and crumbles. Now, I'm of the opinion that that happened in 1914, that image was struck. Some of you embrace that. Some of you may have a little perspective. But the question for the hour today, for the few minutes today, is where is Daniel's image today? And I would like to suggest that Daniel's image today is gone. Now, that's a different position than I've had before. I have thought that 1914 the image was struck. It is now being ground to powder, as it were, and it'll be swept away with the winds of winter at the end of the harvest and become, as the scripture says, as the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind shall carry it away. But as you consider the issue of the feet mixed with iron, mixed with clay, if that's political and religious mixed together, may I ask where today in Europe we have political governments that are ruling in league with the papacy? And the answer is we don't. So I would like to suggest that what really has happened to that image is that it has been blown away by the winds of war that took two installments of war to do this, World War I and World War II. Now, you remember in the vision of Elijah that you have pictured here, there were a depiction of the time of trouble in three basic phases. There were the winds, plural, and then there was the earthquake, and then there was a fire. Now, in my opinion, having heard other people discourse on this, I have reshaped my opinion more in line with the testimonies that I've heard, to think that the winds of war, plural, were really two, World War I and World War II. And this is what really broke up the political empires that had residually abided from the old times. And that those winds are the winds that are referred to in Daniel the 2nd chapter as the winds sweeping away the chaff that has been broken apart. What has happened since 1945 is a breakdown of the colonial empires. I think that's the earthquake. And since 1989 and the fall of the Soviet Union, I think we have had a different problem, the fire of Islamic insurgency. If this is in the right direction, then it suggests that image is gone. Now let's go back here for a moment to this slide. You see the first two empires? They existed before the image existed. Today we still have strong political powers. I think after that image of political alliance between papacy and the government institutions has already gone. So what is happening today? Well, in the image, in the vision, it said that the stone that struck the image after the image was wiped away by the winds, I think of war, World War I, World War II, then begins to take root and grow. Do you see anything on the face of the globe today, after World War II, that looks like a growing of something that's not yet, but will become the kingdom of God? Yes, shortly after World War II, you saw the nation of Israel take root. And I think that nation of Israel today is that stone growing and growing, not yet the kingdom, but something tangible and visible we see that will become the kingdom of God. Now, on those winds that blew, I would just like to quickly mention that those who follow the opinion that Paul's journey to Rome may be a picture of our harvest times, thought introduced by Brother Ray Luke years ago, which I favor. You see that from 1914 to 1945, is depicted that part of Paul's journey in which he went through two seas of winds, the Sea of Cilicia and the Sea of Pamphylia, suggesting perhaps that the winds of war that sweep away the image are twofold. Two winds, two wars. Now, 1948. Do you know a date from prophecy that would synchronize with that date, 1948, for the foundation of Israel? See, some heads nodding yes, I'm glad to see that. But you all know at least something. Do you know when Israel lost their national independence way a long time ago in the days of Babylon? Do you remember that it was during the time that God set aside for 70 years in which Israel would be overthrown and Babylon would have their power and authority? Now bring that to modern days and ask yourself, when did Israel begin to return to the land and become reestablished? Was that the year 1878? That's what we usually embrace. I think that's true. Add 70 years to that, 1948. I don't think it's a random date. I think that date is meaningful as the time when God's kingdom begins to take root, well, the development of that which will become God's kingdom. Don't misunderstand me and think God's kingdom is established. That will still be coming. Now, we have another way of possibly pointing to that date. You all know that in Ezekiel, the last vision of Ezekiel is 8 or 9 chapters about Ezekiel's temple. You have a date for the beginning of that vision. Now, we usually take the Gentile times to take us to 1914, and I do as well. But it's interesting to know that if you find the date of that vision, and you take 2,520 years from there, it will take you to 1948 as the first incipient beginning of that which will grow into the kingdom of God. Now, here's another. A little mistake in the topography here, but ignore that. The font wasn't loaded in the system. This is the flood. Peter says that getting into the ark represents our redemption in Christ. So we know when to start this, 33 AD. 40 days it rained, a day for a year, 40 years takes you to the fall of Masada and the swiping away of the Jewish polity. But the flood waters continue to endure for 5 full months, 150 days. 5 months, perhaps a picture symbolically of the development of the new creation, which is represented in Scripture by the number 5. That takes us to the time when the ark came aground. What does that represent or symbolize? The ark has come to a resting point. You look out the window and you see the water is still out there. The curse is still out there. But you've come to a prophetic marker. Could that prophetic marker be the beginning of the harvest, the end of the age, 1874? Well, if it is, then notice the next conclusion. The narrative is unambiguously clear that from that time until the time they saw, look out in the distance and see the top of the mountains out in the distance, the first visible sign that something better is coming was 74 days. 74 years would take you to 1948. That is the first tangible, visible sign we see on the mountain kingdoms of this world that the kingdom is coming. It's not here yet. The waters are still there. They wait till the next New Year's Day. And then they look out and they see the, the ground dry. The curse is gone. And I believe that represents the establishment of the kingdom. Just like the tabernacle was set up on the first day of a new year, picturing the new gospel age unfolding. So the floodwaters here, the curse is dried at the very first day of a new year, suggesting the kingdom to proceed thereafter. But the first tangible sign you see is 1948. And then this, a little more complex. But some brethren have noticed that Jeremiah and his prophecies about coming judgment for 40 years, unambiguous, his service was 40 years before the judgment fell on Zedekiah. That reminds us of a 40-year period in which Pastor Russell was talking about the judgment coming and pending. And finally, that judgment did fall in 1914. Well, the number of years between the Jeremiah's 40 and the vision of the four world empires in Daniel 7 that would dominate Israel, that number of years is the same as the number of years between 1914 and 1948. So by all of these tokens, I think this suggests we're on the right track. That image has been smitten. I think the winds of war have blown away that which is represented in the image. And now we see that stone beginning to grow. Everybody sees Israel. Only you know what that growing stone represents. The hope that in due course the blessings of God will come to the whole world. The curse will be lifted and mankind will be restored. It's a tangible sign that tells us we're on the right track.